Okay, welcome. I'm happy to be sitting down with Terrence.
Hey, I'm Terrence.
And give us a little background about yourself.
I joined the community about a year and a half ago, but I've never really had too much trouble with women. I just kind of got in to see what else was out there and to see what I could do to improve myself. And, you know, I started doing the mystery method thing for a couple months, and then, you know, I basically didn't like that because it was fake. You know, I felt that it was not very genuine, and I've always never used lines. So I decided to kind of go the natural route, and I went and met a guy named Johnny Soporno, who, you know, took me out of that realm and met a lot of cool guys, met Hypnotica and Steve P and all those guys there, and then went into his whole thing, which was multiple relationships and harem management and all that stuff. So I did that for a while and did a lot of dating and just realized that I wanted to start keeping the women that I had around instead of going through and just kind of having a revolving door. So I ended up starting to go the more authentic, genuine route, and things kind of changed from there. So now I do a lot of coaching, trying to get people into more of an inner transformational shift to where they're getting present, they're learning about what they really want in life, and that translates into women.
Great. I'm going to start off with a little bit of a tangent, maybe. It's on mixed martial arts, or MMA, and Terrence was just had me here on the floor kicking my ass, a little bit of it. So it seems unrelated, but a lot of the guys that I know, including yourself, that practice MMA have a strong sense of presence and power, and they're grounded. So it does come in handy in tapping into that masculine core. There's one guy I know, one of my wings, he goes by Motionless. He purposely untrained himself so that his opponents would underestimate him when he walked in, so he doesn't have that vibe when he walks into a room. But most guys, you could pick him out of a lineup. So how does MMA fit into your ability as a man?
For me, I think it gives me a little bit more of an intensity. Gets me a lot in touch with my body so that I'm not really thinking as much. I'm more instinctually acting. It gives me, I feel, the ability to be a lot more confident in situations where I'm in public, where I'm with women, where I know that I can protect and take care of the people that are around me. So that kind of goes off, and people can really tell from that who I am and what I'm doing, and it kind of exudes out. So outside of that, I mean, it's just fun and keeps me in shape, and women love it too.
Okay, and we were just talking about chivalry, and that's something that you've been exploring recently and serving women in a non-needy way. So go over your thoughts on chivalry.
Well, I think that women that, you know, if you're looking for a really high-esteemed or high-self-respected woman, they're going to really almost expect that out of you if you want them to stick around. But in a way that's not really out to please them. You're doing it because you want to within yourself. You're not doing it because you're trying to please them or to get laid or anything like that. And women can kind of sense that. So what I do is look for expressions of emotions and feelings and then go on that to where I can lead them to whatever is going to make them feel better as a woman. And generally what that does is that makes them feel more feminine, which then allows you to feel more masculine. And they'll stop commanding you, they'll stop bossing you around, they'll stop bitching, you know, they'll just start feeling and just saying, I feel good, I like being around you. And then they start showing affection a lot more easily than if you're just bossing them around and doing things like that. I mean, there's a point where you can tease them and have fun, which is great, but what they really want to feel is protected, and they want to feel security. And by showing, you know, being chivalrous, you can display that.
And what was it you said before about this concept of leaning back?
I can't take full credit for that. That's a concept by a female dating coach named Rory Ray, and she's got a blog, havethe relationship that you want.com. But her whole premise is leaning back for a woman so that they can learn to receive and express herself and allow you as a man to lead. And by doing that, it creates a really strong emotional bond really quickly when you can establish that with a woman. Now, if you do it with a woman that's, you know, like a super club chick or, you know, something like that in that kind of environment, if you met her in that environment and you start doing that, it's kind of going to come off like you're being really needy. So you're going to want to do it in a lower energy kind of environment, like a bar or a restaurant or a lounge, and start working it from that angle.
And how would you say all this, including being chivalrous, affect your ability to do a same night versus setting something up for a long-term relationship?
With chivalry, it's kind of interesting. It's geared towards more long-term relationships than it is towards getting a same-night lay or a one-night stand or whatever you want to call it. Because if you're chivalrous and you're being super masculine in that sense, they're going to want to keep you, and they're not going to want to lose you. So they're going to start holding back emotionally because they get really insecure and they get really scared that they're opening up way too fast with you. And they're going to want to hold back. So if you're one of the guys that's looking for a really high level, high status, you know, highly secure woman, then that's the way that you're going to build a really strong connection with her really fast. But if you're looking for a one-night stand or something like that, then, you know, a little bit of chivalry goes a long way, but you don't really need to do it all that much because you're going to be more focused on teasing and creating more of a physical attraction than you are an emotional bond.
Along those lines, Stephen Ash recently just posted a series of articles on feminism and the masculine problem, and you had some thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's a big one for community guys, because a lot of the blame is initially placed on women for how they act, how they treat men, and a lot of it is due to the fact that, well, in Steve Nash's article, he writes that women actually evolved from the feminism movement to where they're expecting more masculinity out of the men in society, whereas men, because women have kind of succeeded in the workforce and succeeded with being the girl who can go out and be a slut and it's okay, they've kind of emasculated a lot of men. And when you emasculate men, men become more passive, more feminine. And so you kind of get this, if anybody's ever read David Data, you kind of get this stage two style of a relationship, where the guys don't really have any direction, any purpose, and women become very domineering and commanding, and they start holding the pants in the relationship. And no woman really wants to hold the pants in a relationship. If they're telling you that, they're super masculine, and you don't date men, you date women. So that's kind of what he's talking about in that article, is he's wanting men to be more masculine, to evolve with the women. Whereas it seems that in his article, we haven't evolved as men. We've kind of almost devolved compared to where they're at right now.
Yeah, it's really interesting and controversial. And there's a sort of a fine art between women setting boundaries and men respecting those boundaries versus men plowing through those boundaries to get both parties to a desirable goal. So where do you find that fine line?
It depends on what kind of girl you want. If you want a really insecure girl, then plowing through is probably going to be better for you. Because if you're plowing through, an insecure girl is going to bite on it and she's going to just give in. A high-value girl, or a girl that really thinks highly of herself, is going to she's going to fight back. And she's not going to take it. In a lot of cases, she'd walk away from you. And you'll never get a chance with that girl because she thinks too highly of herself to let you walk all over her. In a case like that, then it's a good idea to respect her boundaries, to keep her in the game, to keep her there, keep her wanting more, to make her more feminine. Because the more feminine they are, the more masculine you are, or the more masculine you can be, and she'll surrender into it.
And on that blog, I see a lot of kind of resentment by women towards men as far as dating. Where do you find this is true, or where do you think this resentment, if it is coming from?
I think it's more of just a misunderstanding. I don't know if there's really resentment on there as much as the way Rory teaches, she wants you to go on the other extreme so that you can somehow find a middle ground to where you're at. So a lot of women get on there that may have low self-esteem. You know, they may be extremely jaded and resentful. But once they get on that site, it's more about just understanding how men work. And basically, she's just advising them to lean back, if you will, and to let the man give and you just receive. And it's not necessarily, if you lean back, in her terms, all the way, in my opinion, that leads to being unappreciated as a man. But if you lean forward too much, you become needy. So there's a balance there. So most women get on that site on the needy side, and then they need to go to the far side so they can somehow make it to the, you know, to the middle ground. When they post, they're posting as if they're from the far side, so it comes off as being really resentful. But if you know they're just doing it as a tool to teach themselves in real life to be a little bit in, on the in-between side.
And do you think that feminism or what's happened to men over the past, say, 50 years has caused a sense of resentment among women? Do they just not understand men in general, not on this blog specifically?
In general, I think that that women just feel like men aren't men right now. And men are really hard to find. They're really rare. So in a way, I think that that has a lot to do with, you know, the whole feminism movement, because they start tapping into their masculine energy. And when you start tapping into that, then you're going to start getting commanding and domineering and, you know, disrespectful in a way. And, you know, it comes off as disrespectful, you know, to men. But that's kind of where they're at with that.
All right. So let's move on to presence. You emphasize that a lot, being present in the moment. How do you find your center and become present wherever you are?
For me, I just start focusing on my breathing. And if I can focus on my breathing, then I'm pretty much there. But I've been doing it for a little bit, so for me it's a lot easier than somebody that's starting off, you know.
And how does being present help you as far as women?
Well, for starters, it allows you to know when a girl wants you to approach her through eye gazing, through approach invitations and things like that. You know, you'll be a lot more able to pick those out if you're really aware of your surroundings and your environment. And, you know, if a girl comes by you and glances at you, you'll know it. You know that you can talk to her, you know, or if she wants you to talk to her versus just totally missing that and, you know, going about your business. So it helps a lot with that. It helps a lot with being able to talk to women because you're not really thinking what to say anymore. You're more just your intuition's telling you, okay, I can say this to her. And you can be a complete dick if that's what you want to be, and it's okay because she knows it's you. You can be a complete nice guy, and it's okay because she knows that's you. As long as you're not coming from your head with it, you're coming from your body and just saying what you want. And that's why I don't really think lines really work all that well, is because of that.
And that's being present within yourself. And what about being present with her feelings?
Well, with her feelings, it's more about paying attention to how she's expressing herself. If she's expressing herself with her body language and she's turned away from you and things like that, you know, there's some feeling that's going on there that you probably want to change. So by asking her, well, how do you feel right now? Or what's whatever I'm doing making you feel like, or whatever like that, then they're going to be able to explain that to you in a woman kind of way, in a female kind of way, instead of her telling her, you know, you need to get the fuck away from me. It's a little different. So if they say, you know, something like, I don't feel safe, or I don't feel, you know, I don't feel good right now, I feel bad, I feel hungry, whatever, you know what you need to do.
So sometimes you can rationalize, you can logic through a woman's feelings, but sometimes you just assume that what you're witnessing is a reflection of your own state. So when is it appropriate to try to reason it through, like you just said, and when sometimes you just need to give up on trying to speak through it and just change your own state so that she reflects that?
Well, personally for me, I don't really change my state. If that's what it is, that's what it is. And if I'm not reflecting what I want from her, or if she's reflecting something else on me, then usually I can get that out of her just by asking her. Because if I'm not afraid to be wrong and I'm not afraid to be vulnerable, then she's going to respect that, and she's going to tell me, okay, this is what's going on. So it's not really I'm rationalizing it as much as I'm just paying attention to my body. And if I feel that something's wrong or I feel that something's different or awkward, then I'm going to address it. I'm not just going to pretend it's not there.
You also use presence in text games. We might as well go on to texting, which I thought was fascinating because when you get into it, into the community, at least for me, I'm so 20th century, I would call girls, but I would never text them. Then I got in this really awkward kind of text exchange, which was really dancing monkey and false. And then I met you, and I learned to be present, to really understand where she's coming from with the words she's selecting and even the little dot, dot, dots and stuff like that. So what goes into your text game, if you want to call it game?
For me, I don't really have any more rules anymore, per se. I just get a feel for where I want to take it, and it kind of sounds like a natural talking, but, I mean, I just take them there. You know, it's like if I want to move it towards a sexual vibe, anything that I see, I'm going to make it sexual. If she says something about, you know, peanut butter, I can make peanut butter sound something sexy if I really wanted to, you know? But just feeling that, not really thinking about it, but feeling like, where does she want this to go? What does she want to do? I try to get into where she is versus where I'm at. And then I want something out of it, so I'm going to take it there. And I feel like text messaging is a way of her expressing herself as a female. So if you express yourself like a female, I'm going to lead you like a male. So like a male should, rather. So if that's the case and she's telling me something, she's telling me how she wants to be led. And so I just lead her in that direction, one way or another. And I do a lot of comedy. I do a lot of innuendos, obviously. And I state what I want from her all the time. Even if she says no to it, I don't really care. I'm just like, okay, well, at least I told you what I wanted. And it usually works out because then they'll say, well, you know, maybe not today, but tomorrow, or, you know, maybe some other time. But I'm always asking or telling her, okay, I want this. I want to see you tonight. I wonder what it would be like if you came over here. You know, things like that. And they get the picture, what I want. I don't have to be very demanding. I can just kind of phrase it in a way like, I wonder what it would look like in a black dress tonight. And she'll know I want her to come out tonight. And then she can play hard to get. She can play coy. It doesn't matter. I'll play that. But she knows what I want. And that's the point. And if she knows what I want and she's expressing her feelings, then I'm going to get what I want all the time as long as I acknowledge her feelings.
So would you say in that initial text exchange before you actually meet up with them again, you always throw your intentions out there? And how blunt are you about it? And how much innuendo do you use?
It depends on what the interaction was. If the interaction was really sexual, then I can be very, very straightforward and very blunt right off the bat. And it's okay because it was there when I first did it. If it wasn't, if it was kind of a friendly vibe, kind of a fun vibe, then I start off with a friendly or a fun vibe just so she remembers that. And I usually text either the same night or the next day. I don't usually wait because I want them to know me and know what my number is and know everything about, or remember everything about what I did. So if we were teasing, if we were doing something like that, then I'm going to be like, throw out a tease as the first text and make them laugh. You know, so, I mean, anything, it really depends on how the interaction went, how I take it in text messages. It's completely dynamic. I don't really have a set way of you know, texting anybody. It's just how I feel.
But as a general rule, you're going to come across as non-needy. You're not going to keep bombarding them with texts and they're not responding.
No, not at all. If I don't feel like it's worth it to me, I think of it as respecting myself. And if I respect myself enough to know when a girl isn't giving me the type of attention that I feel that I'm worthy of, then I just drop her. Because I know that there's going to be, you know, 50 million other women out there that I can hook up with and that will want to text me. So there's no point in continuing that interaction and wasting my energy on it. Doesn't really matter.
And if a girl does seem, if she's responsive to your texts, how soon would you propose meeting up with her again? Or does it vary a lot?
It depends on my schedule. I mean, if I've got time the next day and I want to see her, then I'm going to say, come out the next day. If I've got, like, you know, work stuff or whatever, or training, then I'm just going to be like, all right, cool. Wait until I'm done. It's about me fitting her into my schedule. It's not about me trying to get into her pants as soon as possible. Because I've got enough people now that I don't need to do that. I've got enough of an abundance that it doesn't matter whether I meet up with them tonight, tomorrow night, next week, next month. Doesn't matter. Because I can always go out and find something.
And along those lines, do you have obviously you don't have an agenda for when you actually have sex with a girl, but how forceful are you, if you use that word, and when you want to actually have sex with a girl? Do you always try to do it on the first meetup, or do you really take your time at it?
Kind of depends on what the dynamic of the interaction was. If the dynamic was super sexual and I feel that's what she wants, then who am I to not give her that? But if I think it's going to take a little bit of time, if I don't want to have sex with her and I'm just looking for the interaction, that's different. If I want a friend to build a social network with, because in LA, you're always going to need to have a lot of really cute girlfriends to get you into the clubs and stuff. A lot of people on CC know about that. So it really depends on what I want. Everything that I do is about what I want to create in that moment when I want to do it. It has nothing to do with, you know, logistics for me, because if I want to fuck somebody in the bathroom, logistically, I don't think that that's ever going to be a problem. You know, if I want to take a girl home and fuck her that night, or wait until a week later to fuck her, then I'll set it up that way. But it's all about what I want to create, and then I set that intention, and then I just go for it.
Being seductive is something that doesn't come easily to a lot of guys who get into this. They have difficulty communicating with women. They are not confident expressing their sexuality. So what tips would you give to guys on how to get in touch with that masculine sexuality and be comfortable expressing it to women?
The advice that I would give to those guys is to, well, number one, practice. Go out in the field and do some work and risk failing, because that's the biggest part of it, is failing. That's when you learn the most. But realistically, it comes down to how you feel about yourself. And if you feel that you are a sexual creature, and if you feel like you can do that and you can go for what you want, then you'll get it. It's not a matter of what you look like. It's not a matter of, you know, what you drive or all that stuff or how much money you got. It's about who you are as a person internally. If you can, you know, bring that out and exercise the sexual person in yourself, then everybody else around you can feel it. It's just a matter of creating what you want.
And lastly, let me talk about, because a lot of guys do want multiple long-term relationships because it seems like it's really glamorous, but my understanding is it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to have one girlfriend and to do it right and be attentive to her needs and her emotions. It's a lot of work to have a harem of women, I'm assuming. So what tips do you give guys that have starry eyes for having multiple long-term relationships?
Get one first. You know, if you want to go that route, it's really difficult to maintain if you're not attentive to every single girl's emotions. And everybody in that lifestyle and in that relationship need to know who they are and what role they are in the relationship. I've got a primary girlfriend and secondary girlfriends. The primary girlfriend knows she's the primary girlfriend. The secondary girlfriends know they're the secondary girlfriends. So you don't get any cattiness. There's a hierarchy there. And if you create it and that's what you want, then that's what you're going to get. But dealing with women's emotions can be really difficult, especially when they all have needs at the same time. And you've got to prioritize as the person that's leading all of these women, because remember, you're supposed to lead. And now instead of leading one girl, you're leading multiple women at the same time. And they all are going to come to you, and they're all going to want you to do stuff, and they're all going to have feelings and emotions that are all going to be different all at the same time. It can get really, really messy if you don't know how to handle that the right way. So the first step in that process of learning how to handle emotions is just to work with one and then build up from there. Or try to, if you crash and burn with it, just look at why it crashed and burned. Don't look at them, look at yourself and what you could have done better. emotional-wise, because they're all emotional creatures and not really physical. I mean, they are, but not as much as they are emotional. I mean, that's the advice that I would give somebody that was trying to build a multiple type of relationship or a harem.
There are certain rights that a girl has when she's monogamous with you, and certain obligations you have to her as a man, which are a little different when she's just a primary and you have other girls in your life. So what are these rights? What things do you have to be attentive to in a monogamous relationship?
Well, she's got a right to my honesty. I'm not going to hold anything back from any person ever in that type of relationship, because that's just a domino effect waiting to get tipped over if one person catches you in a lie. And if they know each other, which is a whole nother can of worms, that's going to be even more difficult. But especially to the girl that you consider to be your primary girl, she's got to know everything. She's got to know the girls by name. I tell, you know, my girl by name who these girls are, if I had sex with them. If I plan on going out with them, I let her know in advance that she knows, so that I'm not going to have any random phone calls, any insecurities because I might like her more than I like the other girl, things like that. She's got to have my complete honesty. Outside of that, as long as I'm honest with her and I'm not crossing a boundary that we've already established, because everybody's going to be a little bit different about that, if I don't cross any boundaries and I'm honest with her, then I can pretty much do whatever I want, which is the way that I want it. And she trusts me enough to know that I'm going to go out and I'm going to do what I want, and I still care about her. And whenever I want to see her and whenever I want to be attentive to her, I can be attentive to her with my full presence. And that's what she really wants.
So you're very specific about all the details of your other relationships. You don't hide anything from her. Do you think that could be hurtful to her or in the long run?
No, in the long run, I don't think it's hurtful at all. Because if anything, to me, it would raise her self-esteem, knowing that if she wanted something different, she could go out and get it. As a matter of fact, I mean, with a lot of the secondary girls, they know their role, and I'm completely honest with them as well. And a lot of them will leave and say, okay, I want a monogamous relationship and you're not giving it to me, so I'm going to go elsewhere and get it. And I'll always be like, you know what, I'll be your best friend. That's great. I respect that. You know, maybe we can all go out sometime. But because you were candid and I was candid, my door is always going to be open. So if you ever were in a situation where that doesn't work out, you know I'm going to be here for you. And a lot of times it come back, because monogamy doesn't always work. And so they know where their safety is. They know that I've made them feel safe when they're in that type of relationship. And I can provide emotional support, physical support, all that stuff. So it works out.
So in the end, it really is just about being a man of integrity and honesty with all of your interactions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I never lie as much as I can. I mean, sometimes you kind of slip up, but you always try to correct yourself. But as much as I can, I don't ever lie. I don't do anything that I would consider bad to myself, because to me it just doesn't feel good, and I don't want anything coming back and biting me in the ass. So, and also, I mean, if you lie, eventually it's going to come back. And not only if you're in a type of relationship where there's more than one woman, and they all know each other, they're all going to talk. And that's another domino effect in the whole situation, where they'll all just be like, oh, he's a liar, and then your whole shit just falls to hell, you know?
All right, great. So tell us what your blog and your website are.
I'm starting a website called theauthenticdatingclub.com. I haven't posted on it yet, but I'm about to launch it pretty soon. And then Terrence Timms, which is TerranceThames.blogspot.com is where the blog is right now.
Cool. I appreciate your time. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.